far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we gather up the Dragon Balls once more for Dragon Ball Z Resurrection of F review.
Resurrection F. I saw it on Tuesday night at 7. You saw it on Saturday night, right?
Or I saw it Saturday afternoon, yeah. I guess we can do introductions for this.
All right.
Hey, everyone's we're Anime of Yesteryear podcast again. I am Dustin, and then with me, of course, is John.
Yep.
And we're actually going to be doing an anime review. This is actually our first recording since early July, since we did the card fight. Or the Super Fight card game that we got from Skybound.
Yeah, we haven't been recording much lately.
Yeah, I've had a pretty busy summer, man. I've had something to do this whole summer, so it's been kind of nice giving us that break to not record anything for a while. And I mean, as usual, I haven't been watching any kind of anime that we should be reviewing.
Yeah, we still have to watch. I've been keeping up with Toonami stuff. That's about it. We still have to watch those ones that people requested on Indiegogo.
Yeah, well, I took care of one of those in animation with that'll be coming out, I think, before this episode does.
Okay.
And then we've got Cody and Corey, their Kickstarter things, and they told me what their titles are, so we'll get that situated and watch those. And I start school in a couple weeks, so we can probably get those knocked out. Yeah, I would say John would join, but he demanded a refund from his money, so he's not gonna. So if you don't contribute, you don't get anything.
You mean Josh?
Yeah, Josh. What did I said? John, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, man.
What did Josh request anyway?
Yeah, Josh was just like, "Hey, dude, I'm short on cash. Can I get $20 back?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And I'm thinking, he ain't getting nothing out of this.
What did he request the first time?
I don't know. I think I went to ask him about it, and he goes, "Oh, man, dude, I kind of need that money back." And I'm like, "All right, well, I'll give it back to you, but if you want us to review something, that ain't going to happen." And he hadn't said anything about it. I mean, that was like March when he asked about that, so I was like, okay.
Well, a long time ago, he mentioned that he borrowed a Fire Emblem OVA from someone.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to get us to review that for a long time, but
okay, well, pay us $20 and we'll do it.
Well, I mean, it's probably a short thing. I don't mind doing it, but yeah, we should do the other ones first.
Yeah, I'm kidding, man. Like he will be dead last in 2 years. I think that's fair. Well, I mean, he's technically on staff for the podcast, so like, I mean,
I told him about
if he
this.
Wants us to do it, we can anyways. I'm just teasing with him.
I told him about this recording tonight, and I know he saw the movie, but I guess he's not going to be on for it.
Yeah, he's not even in the chat either, so, oh well.
Yeah. So, I thought this was a pretty good movie. I had a good time watching it. At the start, they had this trivia nonsense with the voice actresses.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Did you like Battle of Gods more or less than this film?
I don't know. I mean,
is it about the same to you?
I guess that Battle of Gods had better humor and this had better action, so it evens out.
I kind of thought Battle of Gods is a little bit better of a movie because it's like it's a brand new concept, and the action scenes were pretty good in that. I mean, this one they kind of fought within like a 5 mile radius. They didn't really go anywhere, and like Beerus was trying to tell him to go somewhere else because the dirt won't get on his sundae while he's eating it. He's trying to shoo them away so he can enjoy the sundae that Bulma ate gave to him, so he won't have to destroy the planet. But we'll get to that in a minute.
this all happened actually, in one location.
I was gonna say the trivia thing that actually helped my case because I had a sort of a church meeting that Saturday morning. And so, like, I left early so, like, my girlfriend and I can go see it at this time. But she wound up showing up a little bit later because of something that happened. But, like, the trailers came on. I just told her, hey, you know, just call me or text me when you get in, and then I'll give you your ticket and we'll come in there. And I'm really, 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 really glad they did a trivia thing because that gave her extra time to come in there. And even extra time for her to go out and get popcorn and come back.
Yeah. It lasts like 10 minutes or so, and then they had
this. It was like, hey, you guys remember that last movie you did? Here's some trivia about it for the fans. And I know I'm in the theater going, play the movie!
then they had the Attack on Titan live action commercial.
Yeah, I saw that.
It doesn't look very good to me. I'm not a big Attack on Titan fan.
And me either. I don't really care. And then they had that Psycho Pass movie and some other stuff.
I think there was like an idol movie or something. The
Idol Master? I think that's it.
Yeah, something. There might have been another one. I don't know.
Of course, as usual, we're just kind of reviewing this movie off our memories. But I mean, like, it's pretty simple to just kind of talk and review about it. I mean, the film starts out with basically. Like in the Battle of Gods, where you have Emperor Pilaf and Mai and the samurai dog person.
Shao.
They go and grab the Dragon Balls in like the middle of Russia or something, and they made some deal with like the rest of Lord Frieza's minions or I guess like force or something, because they want to resurrect Frieza back. And so they do, and then of course at the same time you've got Piccolo on the other side of the planet and Gohan, Piccolo's babysitting Gohan and his wife's kid.
Pan. Yeah.
Yeah, Pan. I guess that is Pan. So, and then of course like making jokes like, oh, did Piccolo's face scary? And he's just like, I didn't want to do this job in the first place.
Yeah, that is pretty funny, Piccolo babysitting.
Yeah.
Since he's like supposed to be the incarnation of evil or whatever in the original Dragon Ball.
Yeah, any kind of like power these villains are supposed to have, or former villains, or just like comedic things. Like Vegeta had to play do the intro to a bingo song in the last movie.
Yeah.
So in this one, it was just kind of like, you know, 5-year-olds fighting, because that's how like him and Goku, treated each other. No, but they resurrect Frieza, but they only get his like parts of his body back. And so then like, they put it in a container and they go through like a regeneration thing, and Frieza comes back and, you know, she is raising hell because it's like, wow, you guys did a piss poor job in the past decade. But what made that interesting was the fact that Frieza has been in hell this whole time, and hell for Frieza is being in a cocoon tied to a tree or dangling from it with a bunch of like bunny rabbits and kitty cats and like flying bunny girls singing and dancing in a wonderful flower field.
Yeah. He kept calling it Earth Hell, and he was like, I'm going to destroy Earth and that'll get rid of Earth Hell too. I liked how when they revived Frieza, the second wish, Emperor Pilaf and Shao and Mai finally got to make their wish after all this time. You know, they've been trying to do that since episode 1 of Dragon Ball, and they finally got to wish for some money.
Okay, yeah, they were like, I want 1 million zenny, and then like, and then Mize is like, you could ask for 5 or 10 or 100 million zenny. Just like, I'm sorry, this is what we've been wanting. So like, that's basically like a subplot point from the original Dragon Ball, is them to get 1 million zenny.
Well, they used to say they wanted to take over the world, and then in Battle of Gods, they decided to downgrade their wish to just wish for some money.
And
they also, of course, they made the wish in between, their last appearance in Dragon Ball, which was, like, I think the Piccolo Saga, and then the appearance in Battle of Gods. At some point in between there, they wish to become children, and so that's why they're kids. And then this, like, is why GT is considered to be no longer canon, because they're old in GT, and they made Goku into a kid instead of themselves into a kid.
Yeah, but in Battle of... Because, like, after I saw this movie, like, my girlfriend and I watched my copy of Battle of God, so she can kind of sort of keep up who these characters are. And, like, even in Battle of Gods, they go back to the whole thing where, like, they see Goten, and they think he's still Goku. So, like, wouldn't that still count as GT being part of the timeline, sort of, kind of?
Well, GT is set, like, after... If it was set at all, it would have been, like, after this, and they maybe, like, make a wish to make themselves old again. Because, you know, when GT happens, Pan is already a teenager, and at that point, Pan is a fetus in Battle of Gods.
Yeah.
So they can't both have happened unless something happens in between that makes them become old again, which I guess that they could make a wish saying, make us old, we don't like being kids, but I don't know why they would do that. And the other thing that people have been getting on about the continuity here is the issue of Gohan becoming a Super Saiyan, because in the Majin Buu saga, his like potential was unlocked by the Supreme Kai, the old Kai, and then he like didn't need to power up anymore because he was always at full power, and then. So in Battle of Gods, they released a trailer where they had him becoming Super Saiyan, and people online were like, oh, what's this about? He doesn't need to become Super Saiyan anymore because he got that power up, and he's Mystic Gohan or whatever, and then they didn't actually include that in the movie, I guess, because of the fan reaction online. But then in this one, Gohan does become Super Saiyan. And I think that maybe the reason is because they said in the movie that Gohan is not keeping up his fighting training. So maybe he is, like, no longer keeping up to his full potential like he was at that point. So now he has to go Super Saiyan to get a power boost. But even after he goes Super Saiyan, he gets his ass kicked immediately by Frieza. Because Frieza gives him one punch to the stomach and he's out. He did even worse against Frieza as an adult than he did as a kid on Namek, which was pathetic.
Yeah, because like, even in this movie, he was just like, well, I think I might be able to turn Super Saiyan because like he hasn't fought in a while. But he's still able to like hold his own against Frieza's minions and everything. So maybe that's, I guess like with that, what you just said is true too. So like, I'm not really like all that keen on what the DBZ fans are saying and the continuity and like power-ups and stuff like that. But I'm like, I can believe it too, because I figure like he would hold a chance against Frieza. Because he defeated the crap out of Cell, and Cell was more powerful than Frieza. And, you know, he takes a punch in the gut and, like, you know, basically he's, like, just about to die.
Yeah, the power levels in this make no sense. They said at the scene where Frieza was revived that if he trained for 4 months, he could become 1.3 million power level. Well, he was 1 million in Namek, and they've already defeated Cell and Majin Buu at this point. And they were several times stronger than Frieza. So
I thought I'm pretty sure like it's been like sort of recorded about like what each villain's estimated power level is after the Frieza arc.
Right, because there's
like
video...
you know, Cell or like Majin Buu were like 25 million or something or at this point or
yeah,
when they, the, or the, yeah, something like that.
There are video games like for the SNES, I think, in Japan that have the power levels for the later villains. And
I see.
And it's like way higher than Frieza's 1.3 million in this. So I think what this is confirming is that those are not canon, and that the power levels increased only much slower after Goku goes Super Saiyan, which doesn't make much sense because each time there's a new power level, it's acted like it's like way stronger than before. But I guess the like exponential growth in power levels that occurred from like the you know, when Goku becomes an adult to, you know, when he goes Super Saiyan, I guess after that, the power-ups are not really that significant after all, which is weird.
Well, there's no way to measure it because it was always based on the scatters, and they're just, it's a numbers game, like they're freaking accountants or something. I'm like, what person's power level is what? But then, like, if you don't have the scatters in there anymore, then it's just like, well, then this guy, we all know that everyone's stronger than Frieza at this point. And because even Frieza in the movie is just like, you know, my father told me the two people never to battle, and that was, you know, Majin Buu and Beerus. And apparently Goku was able to take them on, and she's like, you know, what the crap? And then she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and power up and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, so, like, Frieza's power level is Golden Frieza.
Yeah.
I was like, and Goku's, that's pretty pimp.
Goku is called, the official name of this form is called Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan, which was how they announced it in the Japanese leaks before it came out. And thank God they did not call it that in the actual movie, because that's a terrible name.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
Instead, they just said, oh, well, now I can reach this form without other people's help. And it's a Super Saiyan God full form or something. It's just, you know, just a Super Saiyan God with Goku being able to do it without having to hold hands with everybody, like in the Battle of Gods. I don't know why this would mean that he has blue hair instead of red hair, but, you know, the hair color change never really made sense, so who cares anyway?
Yeah, going back to the timeline, or I guess the movie or whatever, like, they're... Yeah, so then Frieza, you know, at the same time after this happens, like, Goku and Vegeta are off training with Whis, and, you know, then he explains to them what their weaknesses are, which, you know, Vegeta's, like, an angry person, and he's holding back while Goku's too relaxed, and he lets his guard down all the time. So, like, and they get that potential thing where they, you know, if they work together, then, like, they can actually be a really formidable team. But, like, they're too prideful, both of them, like, to not work with each other. They'd rather fight alone.
Yeah, and, they say we fused one time, and then we're not going to do it again.
Yeah, but the only time they ever fought together was when they became, with the fusion technique and the Majin Buu saga.
Well, there's that where they had used the fusion earrings, and then there's also the one where they do the fusion dance in the Fusion Reborn movie.
Okay, I haven't seen Fusion Reborn, so...
Yeah, there's one where there's Vegito, and there's one where there's Gogeta.
Okay, yeah, Gogeta was their form when they did the fusion with the earrings. Okay, yeah, that's the one I know from the TV show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think that the Fusion Reborn is not considered canon with these movies, even though these movies are not considered canon with Z, I don't think.
that sigh just said it all.
I mean, I thought when this was starting, when Battle of Gods came out, that this was supposed to be, like, set in between the, you know, the end of the Kid Buu saga and the tournament where Goku fights Ub and flies off and abandons his family.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out that I think that Super is supposed to be set within the TV series timeline, because Super is retelling Battle of Gods, and I think that since it's a televised thing, it goes with the other televised series, and that the movies have, like, their own continuity, but that these movies aren't canon with the other old movies, because they don't mention that they fused together twice. They just say that it only happened once, which would have to be the time in...
Okay.
In the series, I would think, because they mentioned Majin Buu and Fat Buu is there, so it's not like the Buu stuff didn't happen. So
yeah,
it's very confusing, and it's not like this stuff needs to be confusing. The Dragon Ball timeline doesn't have to be so convoluted, but they do it anyway.
It was interesting enough, like, in terms of characters, since you mentioned Majin Buu. Majin Buu is not in this film. Neither is not Yamcha or Tien. Not Tien, but Chao Su, because, like, Tien was like, or I think it was either Tien or Krillin. It was just like, yeah, they're pretty weak, so we just didn't bother inviting them.
Yeah, Tien said, I didn't bring Yamcha and Chao Su. This is too much for them. And then the theater started cracking up. They were like, Yamcha. Yeah, so
my theater did that too. Like, I was actually surprised that my theater was, like, maybe 30 or 40% full on a Saturday afternoon. And, like, I knew a couple people that, like, live in town that are nerds, so they were there, too, to watch this movie. But, like, I didn't have a problem with seating or anything like that.
Oh, it was sold out here.
Oh, so was it? It was really packed for you on when you saw it Tuesday.
Yes, and all the other showings had already sold out when I bought that tickets for that one a month ago. So it was real popular in Phoenix, Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, that's good for Funimation. And then speaking of records, like they're in the top 10 anime films like released in theaters or whatever.
Yes.
In terms of like pricing and everything. So that's like, you know, hooray for them.
They were in more theaters than Battle of Gods. When Battle of Gods played here, there was only one showing in the whole county. And this time it was, I think, probably like 20 showings or something. There were two a night for each night, I think, for 10 nights.
Well, for me, like last year I had to drive to Greenville, which was like an hour from where I live. And then my town, like I got the tickets and everything when I found out. I was like, well, I got to go make the trek to Greenville. And my girlfriend and I'm trying to tell my girlfriend, like, hey, you know, we got to figure out, how to plan this to go to Greenville that, you know, that Tuesday night or something. And then I go to see a movie back in July. And then I saw a post. Oh, I remember. And I saw a poster that they're advertising they're going to show, you know, Dragon Ball Z. And I was just like, I was like, holy crap, well, I'm doing this. So then I just got a refund back from Fandango and just put, like, my money again for seeing it, like, you know, 2 miles down, 2 miles down from my house. And so, like, I just, like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and purchase Saturday tickets since, like, on the weekends, my girlfriend and I are usually free and everything. So, yeah, so it just kind of worked better out for us and everything to just see it on a Saturday. And I wasn't sure, like, how packed it was going to be because this isn't exactly like a very popular or populated county.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wasn't going to take my chances at like, I don't want to go like have troubles getting tickets or whatever. And like the way they showed it here was like, you know, one showing a day. So, and it was at 7 PM except for like Friday nights and Sunday nights. And then Saturday was like 2 PM in the afternoon. And that's all they had. But they showed this movie in 300 more theaters, from what I understand, on that list. So obviously they had, you know, they got way more. Well, of course, that's how they got more money out of that, too. So
right. And plus, I think hype for this one was more because Frieza, yeah, instead of, you know, some cat. Like, I think that Beerus was not really, like, I mean, he's kind of a joke character, you know? Like, he's just some cat that really likes to eat. And Toriyama has, like, a sense of humor, and so he just treated Battle of Gods like he was just, like, having fun coming up with, like, the reaction that an alien would have to human food is, like, 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
So, that's,
and then Beerus will not destroy that planet because Bulma seems to be the only cook in the entire planet that can be able to crave his appetites for high cholesterol foods and deep-fried stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I had a feeling how this movie would end from when they mentioned the first time the ability that Whis has to rewind time and do it over.
Yeah, as soon as they mentioned that, I was like, well, obviously that's going to be a major plot point in this film to use it eventually.
Right.
And then
and also the Senzu bean that they mentioned, they after they healed Gohan, when Frieza attacked him, they said, oh, Krillin, how many Senzu beans do you have left? And he says, just one. And at that point I knew, okay, so Goku is going to show up, and he's going to get injured, and they're going to give him a Senzu bean, and then he's going to fight again. Like, a lot of these things that they, you know, if you've seen Dragon Ball Z enough, you know what's going to happen once they mention this kind of foreshadowing or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. It's predictable, but at least it's like something solid. So it's like, I guess with the ending on this, I mean like regarding all the stuff that they're setting, adding in as a plot point in the film, it was kind of like, you know, how are they going to go about doing it? It's really like the big surprise, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, really, even though it fits like a very predictable formula, the actual, you know, battle was very cool. You know, they had a lot of different characters fighting that hadn't fought in a long time. Like, they, before Goku and Vegeta arrived, they had a scene where Krillin, Tien Shinhan, Master Roshi, and Piccolo.
Jocko, and, the Galactic Federation patrol officer or Galactic Patrol person that's just like, I'm supposed to uphold the rules, but I ain't really doing much.
Yeah, and him. Like, I think he was supposed to be the comic relief character for this movie, because
yeah.
All his fighting was kind of like Mr. Satan, where he's, like, using tricks and stuff. Like, he got tricked like those guys.
Like, shooting bad guys in the ankles with his ray gun.
Yeah, and he tricked those guys into going into the water and getting eaten by a big fish.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. That was funny, too.
But, and he did, like, a dance move to knock some guys out or something.
Yeah.
So he was pretty funny. He's from the prequel manga that ran in Jump a year or two ago, where it showed him meeting Bulma's sister Tights, who he mentioned.
Yeah, okay. I never knew Bulma had a sister. Like, are you able to explain that? Because it was like a throwaway line they put in this film. I'm like, wait. Bulma has a sister?
Yeah, it was kind of like how in Battle of Gods they mentioned that Vegeta has a brother. And it was like from one of those OVAs that never got over here. And similarly, this is from the manga Jocko, which is just like a one volume thing that Toriyama did for a couple months last year.
Okay,
where it showed Jocko came to Earth and he was supposed to protect it from Saiyans because he had heard that Planet Vegeta had sent off Kakarot to take over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was supposed to prevent this from happening, but he was like, you know, like a loser or whatever. So he just like left and he got tired of waiting. And then Goku ends up arriving and hitting his head and becoming a good guy after Jocko already left. So that's why he mentions in the movie here when he finds out about Goku and Vegeta being Saiyans, he's like, oh, I was supposed to protect this planet from Saiyans, but I'm going to pretend I didn't hear anything here.
Yeah, really?
Because he knows he's a total, like, a loser. He can't really...
He's like the mall cop of the universe.
Yeah.
He's Paul Blart the alien. They're going to start making Jocko movies where it's like him on a Segway, like going around like the moon or something. It's like, hey, you're not supposed to be there, Transformer. Here's a citation. I'm going to go, but you better take that citation over to the Galactic Patrol headquarters in Quadrant. I don't give a fuck. I'm out of here. It's like, I ain't fighting no Optimus Prime, no, or like Megatron, no way, man.
Yeah, he's just trying to take off after telling Bulma about Frieza.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, Frieza's alive, he's on your way, he'll be here in about 2 hours. I'm gone, bye. Bye-bye. Just so, heads up, FYI, for your, you know, get you guys prepared. Ain't my problem, I'm just the messenger. So, I'm the Pony Express. I don't need to be involved. Peace out.
Yeah. I think he did meet Bulma, like, very briefly in the manga previously. But mostly the manga was about him and Bulma's sister, Tights, who, like, wanted to be an astronaut or something. There was, like, some plot about them meeting. And I think he also met... Dr. Briefs, who, you know, was hanging out with some pop-eyed goldfish in this movie.
Oh, yeah, those goldfish are, like, really pretty to look at, but then, like, also very creepy.
Those eyes, yeah.
It's like they just look at you like, I need more food, Mr. Professor Briefs, and he's just like, you'll be fine.
Did he have his cat in this movie? He's always got that little black cat on his shoulder, but I don't think he noticed it.
I don't remember a black cat in this movie.
Yeah, I think that they didn't include it, maybe because the cat would have been like trying to eat the fish or something if he brought it there.
No, that would have been... I bet you anything, if they're going to come up with an uncut edition of this, there's going to be the cat there. And maybe the cat will show up and like try to rescue, you know, its master from the water and then winds up trying to eat the fish. Like, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I guess so. For the TV version with extra scenes like Battle of Gods, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also in that scene, there was the part where Jocko drew a picture of Frieza for Bulma. Everybody
and apparently there's a meme on the internet about how Jocko's the new animator or the best animator for DBZ Super.
Oh, because of episode 5 having that awful animation.
Yeah, that's all I know about it. I haven't seen any part of that show yet. I downloaded the first episode, but I just haven't had a moment to watch it, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, the first few episodes are, like, sort of like the driving test episode from Dragon Ball Z, where that's, like, you know, just a comic relief episode, just Saiyans hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, Vegeta goes on vacation, and stuff like that. And then after that, they went into starting adapting the Battle of Gods story, but with way worse animation, and I don't understand why they are doing this. Why don't they just, like, come up with an original story? It's making the whole continuity thing totally confusing.
I guess for me it's just like, do I wait till this comes out in the States, or do I just go ahead and watch the subs? Probably, I don't know.
It'll be quite some time. I think probably what Funny is planning to do is wait for Dragon Ball Z Kai to finish airing on Toonami, which they're only just starting to get to the battle with Frieza. And
yeah, it's been along pretty quick since November, and I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, because they cut out so much from Dragon Ball Z. But yeah, there's like 100 episodes of the original Kai, and then there's final chapters, which I think at this rate will probably air in, like, late next year or 2017, if Funny gets it, which Funny has not announced that they have it, but some of the voice actors have said that they dubbed it, which is the Majin Buu saga, and there's no word, even unofficially from actors or anything, about them getting Super, which they're probably going to wait until after Majin Buu saga Kai airs. So this probably won't air on Toonami until maybe 2018 or so, if Toonami makes it that long. They already lost half their plot.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I mean, the Water 7 arc just finished up on One Piece, and that's been going on for, like, what, over two years now?
Right, ever since they first got One Piece, they've only aired this one arc.
Yeah, and that's over 100 episodes at this point. I mean, that's like, I'm just like, oh, so it's finally over. That was a pretty good run.
Yeah, I mean, One Piece has the longest arcs. This current arc that just ended in the manga, Dressrosa, which has the battle with Doflamingo, that has been built up to for over a dozen years since they first introduced the character of Doflamingo.
Jeez. And
it's really amazing to me how sanctimonious One Piece fans are about the poor pacing of Naruto and Bleach, which, yes, they have very slow pacing too, but they never had a villain that lasted that long, not even Aizen. Plus, One Piece has been running for many more years than those series, and no one ever really demands that One Piece end right away like they constantly do for the other ones.
Yeah, and who knows when Oda's going to finish it, too. So, I mean, he's just like, I think it's halfway through. I don't really know. I'll figure it out.
I mean, it's his life's work, basically. I think he'll work on it until he dies. Unless he really decides, like, to get things moving here. The most recent chapter did say something about, like, the final battle is about to begin or something. But that kind of shit is always said. They said that in Bleach like 2 years ago or 3 years ago when this current arc started, and then it lasted, you know, several more years, and it doesn't seem like it's about to end yet.
Anyway, I guess we should get back to Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. I guess the bad pacing makes me think of other Shonen Jump series that have... but at least with a movie like this, you don't have like a 30-episode battle with Frieza. It's more like 30 minutes. So it's more enjoyable than in the series because it's not so dragged out with, like, random stuff back on Earth with Chi-Chi trying to get to the Namek on a rocket and stuff like they had in the filler in the original Z.
But, I mean, really what happens is, like, it's just this movie's just one big battle. It's like, you know, once they fight the Frieza Force and everything... And then, like, you know, Goku and Vegeta show up, and Beerus is just eating stuff the whole time. And then, of course, while Goku's fighting, you know, not Vegeta, but, like, no, they show up. But, like, Goku's fighting Frieza, and then eventually, like, Vegeta gets so bored, he goes up there, and they start having a squabble because he's like, no, it's my turn, Kakarot. And Goku's like, no, 5 more minutes! And it's like a bunch of kids fighting over it, and Frieza's like, oh, I've got this battle won.
Yeah, they started fighting each other because Vegeta got impatient. That part was funny.
Yeah.
It is enjoyable to see them, like, still have a rivalry. I know a lot of people online are like, Vegeta admitted Goku is better than him at the end of the Kid Buu saga, so who's he trying to kid here? But Vegeta
he's
did...
he's trying to take his words back, probably.
Yeah, he didn't want to just give up, you know. And so he's managed to become a Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, as well. Yeah. With how he gets the blue hair also, and almost kills Frieza, but he's too slow. And then Frieza blows up the planet, and they have to reverse time using the Beerus's staff.
Whis's staff.
Whis's
yeah.
staff. And they do it because of the food. Ahead.
Yeah, Goku punks Frieza, and then Vegeta's like, no, man, why'd you do that, bro? It's my kill, bro. No, that's not fair. And it's just like, I just saved you the world. Don't get mad at me because you take forever and too dramatic to kill someone, Vegeta. You're welcome.
Yeah, he's never that slow in the original. Like, in these episodes they just aired on Toonami, he just, like, zaps.
Yeah, like...
The Ginyu Force.
Yeah, because, like, they make him out in the original ones, like, we're seeing on Kai, like, you know, where, like, Goku shows up, and then, like, Vegeta gets power, and he winds up just, like, wiping out, like, Jace, Raccoon, and Burton instantly. He doesn't give him that whole, like, dramatic, I'm going to slowly kill you. He does it, and he's just like, Kakarot, you've got to learn how to kill people, bro.
Yeah, and he cut off Guldo's head, like, instantly, and then killed him. And
yeah.
Plus, there was the time in Dragon Ball, the Saiyan Saga, where he... throws Nappa up into the air and zaps him and kills him. So none of those people were able to, like, fight back and destroy the planet like Frieza was, but Vegeta's, like, getting rusty or something, losing his edge from Earth time.
Yeah, really. But, like, Frieza makes him an offer about, like, wanting to join his forces, and he's just like, are you kidding? And, like, he's just like, I'm gonna have to decline because, well, I can, you know, kick your ass, basically. And he's also a Super Saiyan God. Super Saiyan! As well. So, so there's really no point in joining Frieza. And, of course, they're, like, point out Frieza's weakness as, like, hey, he's, you know, got this new power-up thing, but it's just draining his energy, and so it's, like, basically making him weaker and everything. So that's, like, Frieza's major flaw or whatever.
Yes. And when he tried to offer him command of the Frieza forces... He admitted that there is only one soldier left, which is that Tagoma guy, which then when Frieza tries to attack Krillin and kill him again, Vegeta deflects the attack and it hits Tagoma and kills
him.
Yeah,
yeah, because, like, and then Tokoba or whatever, like, cheap laser shots Goku in Super Saiyan form or whatever as their, like, contingency plan in case things go badly.
Yeah, because Goku did that same thing that he always does, where he's like, leave now while you still can. I'll let you get away, and then
Goku,
the villain...
Goku, here's a tip of advice. They never do.
Yeah. And then the villain, of course, you know, attacks Goku. So
yeah.
He should have learned his lesson from when this didn't work with Raditz, and... When it didn't work with Frieza
the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I guess he is hoping that it's going to be something like what happened with when he let Piccolo and Vegeta live, and then they became his friends. But Goku, Frieza is never going to be your buddy.
Oh, not after what you did to him this time for a third time.
Yeah.
Well, really, the second time, because... I mean, Trunks killed him the second time. It was Cyborg Frieza or whatever, so...
Right.
I think, that, yeah, that's pretty much how the movie ends. Like, they basically kind of look at each other like, yeah, we're supposed to work together, but no, that ain't going to happen. But I think if they make a new movie, that they would have to work together now at this point. So
yeah.
I feel like that's going to be, like, a setup for, like, the next film that they do.
Yeah, because I do want to see the either Gogeta or Vegeta or help both. And
like Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Gogeta...
Yes.
Super Saiyan.
Yes. And I don't know what that would look like. Just probably them with slightly different clothing and hair color, but
yeah, blue, green. Maybe it'd be green hair this time. I mean, they got yellow. So they got no. They had red, blue, and so then it would either have to be green.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that they'll have a new villain next time, because I don't see much point in bringing back like Cell. I don't know if that would work, you know, like Cassell is like a robot.
I mean, what's the next plot point? It's like one of those Disney direct to video stuff. It's like, oh, Majin Buu woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He's super powerful this time than ever before. How are we going to stop him? I mean, what other ideas could there be? Just come up with another new villain. I mean, like Beerus was actually kind of cool. So, I mean, that's why I think Battle of Gods is a good movie, because it's like it's all original stuff, whereas this one, they like resurrect him, and like the whole like preview thing where they talk about like the movie before you see the movie, they're like, oh yeah, you know, Frieza was like the greatest bad villain ever. I said, no, he wasn't, because he got punked like halfway through the show or whatever, and they had other stronger villains come in there.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people online wish that Dragon Ball Z had just ended after Goku and Frieza battled on Namek, and they think like that was the, you know, like the good resolution to the original plot of Z. But yeah. I think that what they're missing is that there's like other stuff before that. You know, there are like 16 volumes of Dragon Ball before Toriyama got the idea that Goku was a Saiyan. So the whole plot about the Saiyans and Frieza, that was just one story arc, you know. It's just the most memorable here.
If you're talking about other stories, I was wondering if, like, oh, so what, is Commander Red from Dragon Ball going to come back as, like, a retired person? He's, like, been raising this, like, army of super soldiers the entire time or something? Oh, no, Garlic Jr. comes back. Yeah. He escaped the Zed Zone for a second time. So Garlic Jr. Saga, I'm not even sure if I've ever been confirmed with this, but like since we're talking about it now, so Garlic Jr. Saga was like a throwaway like filler saga, right? Or yes. that was never in the manga, correct?
Yeah, there is no Garlic Jr. in the manga.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because then it's like, because after that, like no one really mentions Marion or anything like that, I don't think.
Krillin's girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, at the time.
Well, some people think that his kid, Marin, is named after that girlfriend.
That's kind of what I got to, but, like, that's super weird and creepy to name yourself after, like, your girlfriend or like, this, like, your first girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, that is weird to name the kid that, since he ended up marrying a different woman.
Yeah, you fought for an android that you wish to be human so you can breed with her and show her love. And yeah, she only had like a brief part in it. Him and his Krillin and his kid, or Krillin's wife, Android 18.
She has a scene where she's shaving his hair, and then she says he's so cool when he flies off.
Yeah, that was pretty much her only cameo in this film.
Yeah, she said before he flies off, "You sure you don't want me to fight? Because I'm a lot stronger than you."
He's like, "No thanks, woman. I'll be okay, babe." You know, speaking of which, since you're talking about like the Frieza saga, like the only parts of the DVD that I have of Dragon Ball Z, other than like a couple of movies, is those Orange Brick DVD sets, and I've only got the first three volumes, which covers up to the end of the Frieza saga, and like I'm good with those. So
I know that's the part a lot of people have the most nostalgia for, because that was the first part to air on TV here.
Yeah, that's true, because like after that, like I really kind of had a hard time keeping up with it. Like it just didn't affect me as much. But like I think having those as like a core thing is like, you know, to watch whenever, like I'm like, okay, that's cool. And like even watching when I watched the first DVD set of those, like when they had like, you know, the completely unedited stuff of like the backstory, when they had like, you know, Launch was like, I guess, living with Tien or something, and then she's like, oh, you're going to go out and fight again or something. And like I never saw that on TV when they had that on there, when like they had the ocean dub and everything.
Yeah, because
like that's always interesting to me.
Yeah, because when they first put it on DBZ in like 1997 or whatever, didn't include a whole lot of scenes because Savon, like, edited it all down, like, the first 35 episodes to, I think, 26 episodes.
Yeah, something
in order
like
that it could fit on syndication. So they cut out episodes that were, like, some of the episodes with Gohan, when he was separated from Piccolo. Like, I think there was an episode where he's, like, in a cave with a robot or something, and that was not included.
That's right. Yeah, there was that, and then there was also the one where he goes to, like, the orphan island thing, or, like, the orphanage place, and, like, he busts out of there and causes havoc. Like, well, that was in the Saban dub, too.
Yes.
But I think I vaguely remember the robot one, too, now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, I think there's also maybe one where he befriends a dinosaur and it dies or something. But yeah, there's like a bunch of stuff that they cut out, and there's also the episode, I think, well, like some training episodes or whatever, where they're like up in the lookout or whatever training. I think some of those got cut. But
okay.
But yeah, and then also the violence, of course, was way toned down in the Saban version. Like, they had edited out the blood and made it look like dirt and stuff and sweat instead. And, you know, they don't say die, they say go to the next dimension. And so and when they finally aired the uncut version on TV in 2005, on late nights after Toonami lost Weekdays, they had it on at like 10:30 or something. I remember watching all that and definitely liking it a lot more than the Saban version with how it had like, you know, I mean, this is how Dragon Ball Z is meant to be seen. I prefer that to Kai or to the Saban version.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're getting the whole version there, and it's been dubbed and everything, so it's, you know, it's. I kind of prefer it that way, too. I know, like, Viku was like, I remember telling him I got the orange brick. He's like, well, why don't you just take that money and throw it in the garbage? Because it's, like, all the same thing. And I'm just like, well, that's you, Viku. But
well, yeah, Viku hates anime now.
Oh, has he confirmed that he hates anime?
Well, he says, like, he hasn't watched anime in a long time and that it makes him feel like a loser to watch anime or something. But he plays video games still, which I don't know how that's any better than watching anime.
I wonder if he still has that Dungeons and Dragons group he's still part of or something. I don't know.
Maybe. He was talking a lot with Daft about the board game cafe. He was acting like it's a good idea. Because he plays board games with people, too.
I guess board games, playing that, is like the least geekiest thing. So it's...
It is?
I guess. Like, I mean, like, if it's not like a competitive thing, like, you know, you can usually have your friends over, like, you play board games with them. I mean...
I guess. But it's like the... Like, you know, it has that stereotype of, like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, everybody's, like, making fun of the... Put on a wizard robe and... I don't know. It's just very, like, very geeky still, I think.
I will say this, like, I mean, usually I play Monopoly with, like, normal people or something. But, like, well, if we play Monopoly, and I can... Well, you know, none of us are dressed up as, like, the Monopoly character doing it or something like that, or, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, Monopoly is not bad, but, like, Dungeons & Dragons is very nerdy.
Monopoly can go on forever and ever until someone has to win or has too much money or something like that, or all the property. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I have never seen the end of a Monopoly game in my entire life.
Have you
seen several of them, but never gotten to the end.
Have you seen the picture on Twitter of the Donald Trump Monopoly game? I don't know if that's real or if that's like a meme or what, but...
It better be a meme. That's sad to hear.
Well, I mean, it's because he's like a New York real estate tycoon who inherited all this property from his father, you know.
Oh, it's daddy's money.
I mean, he's made a lot more than his father did, though, to his credit, but he's done it by bribing politicians.
His father was a better man, too, so.
Yeah, and Donald admits that the way he's made his money is by bribing politicians so that they'll do favors for him, like using eminent domain to steal other people's property and give it to him.
Or have Hillary Clinton go to your wedding and then, like, she uses your money to not fund her foundation, but, you know, you're to go on plane trips and you're on a national debate, you know, bitching about that. It's just like, well, dude, that's what happens when you just throw your money away to bribe people. They're going to do whatever the heck they want with it.
It is amazing that he would be so naive as to not think that a rich person would take plane flights with money given to a massive foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, how is she going to transport herself around the world raising money from foreign governments that she's going to be subservient to when she's president? Obviously, that's going to be done with planes.
I just like the fact where he's like, yeah, she came to my wedding. That was the favorite. I'm thinking, which one, dude? You've been married a lot. I'm not even sure what wife you're on right now when the debate would happen. I'm not even sure if you have a new one today.
I think he has had three wives. Did you see the story they put out trying to slime him over the issue of he was married and when he got divorced to one of them, she like accused him of raping her because she had put him in contact with a hair surgeon who was supposed to cure his bald spot, and they totally botched it, hence how his hair looks now. And then he got so pissed off that he supposedly, raped her over it or something, and then she, testified in court about it. This is what America is reduced to, is, this awful clownish man who has all this, dirty laundry that people are constantly airing about him. And yet, no matter how much comes out about how this guy is a total asshole, half the country loves him because they hate the establishment politicians even more. And, you know, it's like a real dilemma here. You know, do we really want another Jeb Bush or whatever? Or do we want someone who's an outsider who also happens to be out of his mind, a total dick? It's what kind of situation are we in here?
That's why I got a really good feeling about Chris Christie.
Oh, he's polling at 2%, though.
I know, but he seems to be I guess the only thing you can have against him was that stupid bridge thing in Boston, and that he's just I don't know.
In New Jersey,
and I'm just did that really disrupt anything? Traffic for one day or something, and that was it.
Well, from what I heard, that they were trying to get an ambulance across. And some woman died in it because the bridge was shut down.
Oh, well, that's a different case. But, I think mistakes are always going to be made. So I don't know the whole thing about that. But I don't know, man. I look at this whole politician debate as the only two key people that stand out to me is Chris Christie and Donald Trump. And Chris Christie is the fat bully kid on the playground. That, has got an ice cream in one hand and, a pair of brass knuckles in the other. And then Donald Trump is just the rich bully kid that just is stuck up in everything. And so those two are just going to be natural enemies because there's only one alpha bully in this entire Republican thing. And quite honestly, I feel like Donald Trump is just there just to stir up stuff. So the Republican Party – so he has to look like the bad guy in order to make the Republican Party look really good and tackle real issues. But he's making himself as an idiot, and I love how he is just like, if it wasn't for me opening up about, immigration, we wouldn't be having this discussion. I'm sorry, we've been having a discussion about immigration for 40 years every time there's an election. It's nothing new.
Yeah, because
that's what got me. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
In 2012, there was the issue where Romney had hired an illegal immigrant gardener. And then in 2008, of course, McCain was running on the fact that he tried to do immigration reform. In 2004, 2002, 2004 and 2000, George Bush, he was trying to push for immigration reform, and the Republicans have always been trying to do that. But the difference is that Trump is more, more opposed to illegal immigration. But also, Trump in the past has said that he supports amnesty for everyone who's already here, which a lot of Republicans are not in favor of. And he's also in the past said he supports single payer health care, government health care. And that he was pro-choice. And so it's amazing that he, even though there's all this information about his previous positions, is still so popular. And Rand is trying to take him down, and he's had this attack ad on YouTube that popped up before a video I tried to watch, where he was calling Trump out over these things he said when he was... running for president in the Reform Party in 2000, where he was saying that he thinks the Democrats do better than the Republicans on the economy and all his previous positions on abortion and things like that having changed, and and then Trump got really pissed off about this. And he said, "I've had it up to here with Rand Paul. He's a spoiled brat who thinks he's smart, but he's an idiot." And he really tore into him. And he said, "I beat Rand Paul's ass at golf, and I'll do it again." And and he said, "Rand was a better eye doctor than a politician. I gave him money to operate on people's eyes in Guatemala and make them not blind anymore, but I wouldn't give money to him as a politician because he's a loser and he's been a failure as a senator." And he's gotten real nasty with Rand now because of this ad. And so it's just bitch fight after bitch fight with Donald Trump. You know, he gets in these fights with everybody, and he had that advisor Roger Stone who quit because he got tired of how Trump kept doing things like accusing the anchor at Fox News of menstruating.
Oh, the blonde chick Kelly something?
Yes, he said that she had blood coming out of her eyes and blood coming out of her whatever. And then later on he claimed that whatever meant her nose. But the media took this as meaning PMS or something. And so he got accused of being sexist over this. And he got disinvited from that Red State event by Eric Erickson.
I guess for me it's just like I want, in a way, a president that's like brutally honest and doesn't care about what he wants to say. And granted, Donald Trump has that, but also Chris Christie. However, Chris Christie seems to be running New Jersey pretty good. I mean, the state is still there. And I guess that's all you can say. But I mean,
wouldn't we be better off if New Jersey wasn't there?
Republican in a Democratic general area is actually pretty impressive. And I just feel I personally feel better about Chris Christie. But I'm like, I'm not doubting Rand Paul or anything like that. It's just kind of like I don't know. But
yeah, well, Rand is not doing so well either. He's not pulling very well, but no one is really anymore except for Trump, which is just the amazing thing about the times we're living in.
I mean, like, I think you said it best, where he's like a New York gangster and is running it this way. And it's like, we don't need a freaking Lex Luthor in the White House or a comic book villain in the White House. I mean, like, I don't, but then again, like, the Republicans are all squabbling over each other because Trump is stirring up stuff. And then maybe the Democrats are just going to sneak in there and be like, "Hey, we're pretty nice. You want to vote for us? We're not going to cause this much trouble." Let's see. We got Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's, you don't need a pun there. You got a pro-communist person, whatever his name is. And then, Sanders. Like, I don't know about the rest of them.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders. He's actually outpolling Hillary in New Hampshire now. I think it's because of this whole email thing. Because, you know, they're coming closer and closer to indicting her because she's obviously, you know, guilty of some sort of criminal cover-up here.
The thing is, it's like, in political terms, it's like we're already heading towards a socialist country. Why do we need a pro-communist person in office?
Well, I think people at this point are just saying, let's just be honest about it. You know, may as well just vote for someone who's open about being a communist rather than a closet communist like Hillary.
Well, I mean, like, I'm assuming, like, all Democrats are closet communists in some aspect. That's no surprise there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also this whole issue of who are the black voters going to accept, because they feel entitled to a black president after Obama. And they went to a Sanders rally in Seattle where he was rallying about how he was opposed to Social Security and Medicare cuts. And they showed up and they were like, "Why aren't you talking about black people?" And it's like, okay, well, don't black people also retire and get Social Security and Medicare? He's at a rally for one specific issue. And they're like, "Oh, but you should be talking about how it's the 1-year anniversary of Ferguson, because it has to be always about their issue." And then they literally forced the guy off the stage. They climbed up there, started shouting at him, and made him leave. And then just now, they did it just today to Jeb Bush as well. And Donald has said when they come for me, I'm not going to let them get away with it, and I'm going to fight them, and I'm going to have my security fight them, and we're gonna get in a brawl. And it really is a New York... It is New York gangster politics here. We've got the Harlem Globetrotters taking down the slumlord, Donald Trump, and it's going to be televised any day now, and it's going to be entertaining.
He's got a freaking Tommy gun behind the pulpit, yeah. And he's going to, like, oh, you coming up here?
Say hello to my little friend.
yeah, really. Like, freaking Al Capone, everyone is like, oh, I'm your president. That's what's up.
Oh my God, America!
I mean, but there's a lot of level-headed like other candidates in the Republican Party too. I mean, like, there's also the black Republican dude, which he seems pretty level-headed and nice guy. He didn't get a lot of screen time on that debate thing, but I mean, yeah, there's that. I don't know. Should we go with Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee at this point? I mean.
Maybe they're going to have to go with Walker, I think, because he seems like the most sober and serious candidate. Who he was able to get elected three times in a blue state, Wisconsin, as a Republican, and he was able to take on the public sector unions, and which were really out of control with the collective bargaining, and they were hugely increasing the deficit with their massive pay, and he was actually able to win on that issue and do some reforms on the union issue, and plus he's polling pretty well. He has a lot of big donors behind him, like the Koch brothers, and I think that he has a serious chance of getting it because he doesn't have the whole Bush baggage, and he also, you know, comes across as more serious than Donald Trump, who is like the television candidate. But maybe people want Trump. Maybe he's not going to go down. Maybe he gets it. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, I know we're supposed to be an anime podcast, and we've been talking about the Fox News politics for 10 minutes, but I mean, like, it's kind of like, all right, guys, get ready to get used to this for the next 2 years.
Right. There's still another 15 months till the election, so there's going to be plenty more stories about Donald, I'm sure.
Yeah. For closing remarks, at least we talked about Dragon Ball Z before we got into any of this stuff. So, like, I think we've probably lost every listener possible because we talked about politics. And anime fans hate politics. That's a known fact, John.
You're probably right. I think they're probably watching anime to escape the horrors of the real world.
Well, they can't escape it if a politician's going to ban anime in America. I mean...
Well, they better hope that Rick Santorum gets in, because he's got a financial interest in anime.
Well, he's in the loser's bracket for the Republican thing anyways, along with Lindsey Graham and that one lady from the CEO of HP. No, she's in it, I'm sorry. Or was she in the... I don't remember, but...
Yeah, the loser debate, they had... they had several washed-up governors, like Pataki and Gilmore, who had been like out of office for years. And CNN didn't even invite Gilmore to the next debates. He's going to drop out. I don't know why he entered. And then there's also Rick Perry, who's no longer governor. And he's got all those like criminal charges involving like abuse of power. And he was in the loser debate. And then there was Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana. He was there. But, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. And... Graham, and answered a question about Social Security. It was about Planned Parenthood by saying that we need to invade Iraq and Syria, and he gave that as his answer to every single question. And it wasn't even close to related. He was like, you know who's real bad about the women's issues? Them Muslims. We got to invade Iraq and Syria again. And we got to take out Assad. And we got to take out ISIS. And we got to take out the Iranians. Oh, God. Come on. Enough already.
Well, it's okay because, like, even though he's... governor of this, or no, like senator of the state or whatever, I didn't vote for him because I didn't go to that day to go vote for him. So and my ruling is, if I don't vote for anybody, I really don't have an opinion. But he didn't get my vote, even though I know he was going to get, everyone got their same positions in office again, which is like, oh, you know, no freaking, big deal there. But, like, he's described as a war hawk like freaking McCain. I mean, like, they're both wanting to go to war over, like, the stupidest stuff.
Yeah, they're and, like, insane.
That hasn't solved anything. I mean,
if they overthrow Assad, like, he wants to, the people that are going to take the vacuum are not these mythical, moderate Muslims that he loves, that he thinks are just waiting to take over and make it into a democracy, but it's going to be ISIS that's going to take Assad's place. And it's going to be al-Nusra, which is the al-Qaeda group there. And so, you know, it's not going to be a pretty outcome if Assad goes. Not that Assad's a particularly pretty guy either, but, you know, there's not a lot of good options in that part of the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were a couple of others that were there, too. There was Fiorina, the HP woman, and she was considered to be, like, the big winner of the debate, and her numbers have gone up. And then there was maybe someone else, I don't remember. Santorum. He was doing the same thing he did a few years ago. I think he had his chance and he lost it, you know. He didn't beat Romney, he's not gonna win now.
I wasn't concerned about him to begin with, so I was just like, all right.
At least he didn't bring up his position of banning pornography again like he did previously.
Last election. Like, that's not going to work, dude.
It is funny how everybody online is always pouncing on him for saying that, yet being, you know, so closely involved with Fukunaga, who runs an anime company, which publishes all sorts of softcore porn. Yeah,
publishes borderline softcore pornography. Let's get real anime fans. That's exactly what all anime is at this point. That you're paying. That Japan is like, we only make this for those weird people over there, but you keep buying it. So we're just going to keep making the same stuff because it sells.
Yeah, I mean, how many series have Funny put out about, like, how cute little sisters are and that sort of thing? Like, there's a ton of that kind of shit that Funimation releases every single year. Because they put out, like, most of the shit that Japan turns out each year. And Mr. Family Values, Rick Santorum, is all about that kind of family value, apparently.
Yeah, really. I don't know, like, did you have this political talk with Daft in the other recording? Or are you guys just...
No, that one was on topic. We can probably just end this about 15 or 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I was going to just use all this for closing remarks anyways. I mean, I had something else I wanted to say for closing remarks, too.
Okay.
Well, actually, a couple things. One, since we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, or we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, Mega 64 did a video where they basically, like, they compile everything like it was done by a bunch of, like, people that never ran a camera before. And so they basically kind of, like, ghetto-wise, like, how to summarize the Frieza saga in 5 minutes. And I posted up in the chat, I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was, like, basically them dressing up as, like, DBZ characters. Like, so one of them, I think it was Garrett that dressed up as, like, Lord Frieza, and they just did transformations, and it was, like, the same body armor, but, like, the horns were longer. And they had one where Captain Ginyu shows up, and then they have a Goku action figure, like, fighting him and kicking him. And then they had one thing where it was just like, oh, I got tired from that battle, I must rest up. And so then it's just Sean jumping in the pool to reenact the recovery chamber or whatever. And then Vegeta's like, we have all the Dragon Balls, but I'm going to go take a nap. So then he just, like, and then so then it's like one of them going on the lawn chair and just sleeping. And then, like, and then the person playing Krillin and Gohan are like, hey, we have the Dragon Balls, let's go ahead and summon the dragon and everything. And so, like, it's freaking hysterical. And I saw it, like, the way they illustrated the use of the spirit energy to make the spirit bomb was basically blue Christmas lights coming from, like, trees and a house cat.
Oh.
And then they had, like, a rubber ball that they put, like, in right in front of the camera, so, like, it made it look like it was super big and everything. And I was just like, if Mega 64 just did this all the time, like, that's, like, their old way of doing things. It's so beautiful. And I'm like, that inspires me to make something just as beautiful as that. But, yeah, so I'm definitely going to put that in show notes. Also, some people I know passed away recently. Well, I mean, one of them was my mother's good friend that I've known for years. Another one is the fact that it's a guy that I've had a few conversations online online a couple of times in the past few years, but it was like he passed away back in May, but then the news of it didn't get really released until last month, and that was about Robert Gibson. Well, it was the post that that Steve did on Cybernauts Cast, well, Cybernauts now, I guess, about the guy who passed away. But basically, like, I was kind of, like, really sad to hear that, you know, and especially it was news that happened, like, you know, that got released, or, like, it got leaked on Twitter before it ever hit ANN. That's how I found out about it. And, like, I was sad about it because I've always enjoyed that guy because he did the blog Hokuto no Fogi, which is, I think, what really might have inspired me to start blogging on my own for the Anime of Yesteryear blog that I do, and which eventually led to this podcast. And so really it was just interesting hearing all his stories and everything, and I was really sad for me to know that Anime World Order did a review of they interviewed him back at Anime Week in Atlanta last year. Or no, I think it might have been Otakon. I think it was Otakon, but they, you know, talked to him and everything, and like I remember making a comment in there or ask him a question about something, and he actually responded to it a little bit later, but I didn't realize that until, like, after I heard about his death, and I checked on that, and I was like, oh, he actually, like, responded to my comment, and I was just like, well, it's too late to say anything now, because he's, you know, been dead for 2 months, and I was like, that made me really sad. And, so yeah, but, like, I guess, to Robert Gibson's credit, he did the Harlock comics for Eternity back in the day, along with Ben Dunn and Tim Eldred. And Tim Eldred runs the Our Star Blazers website, which is a really good resource for everything about Star Blazers and anything relating to it. But yeah, I just kind of want to give a RIP shout out to Robert Gibson. It was always good to see him online because he disappeared for a brief, like for a while. And there was all these rumors of like, you know, oh, anybody heard was like he was taking a census job for the government, and he was in Louisiana, and we're all like, well, maybe he got eaten by an alligator or something like that. No one knew where he went, and apparently he just like, yeah, I couldn't get back into my Blogspot account to you know, write any posts and everything, so you know, I couldn't really blog anymore or come up with any more stories or anything like that. So, and apparently he spent his past couple years like doing a valet job and like at a hotel or something. So, but it's one of those guys that I really would love to meet in person or wish I did. So, but I will go ahead and post links for this in the podcast where it's Our Star Blazers or Tim Eldred did an interview with him, and then also Anime World Order did too. So you guys can kind of hear about his backstory and everything, and it's really, really interesting. So yeah, guys, definitely check that out. So I'm just kind of giving a shout out to Robert Gibson and give a metaphorical toast to him for a while, so, but I figured I'd bring it up in a podcast the next time we record it. So, but yeah, just keeping that dude in our memory, so I'll definitely get to note that. And that's all I got.
Okay. RIP him and your mother's friend. I don't really have a closing remark other than all that stuff we said earlier. I guess we'll count as mine.
Yeah. We'll talk about Fox News Political Debates, the podcast, closing remarks.
This was recorded a week after the debates. I don't know when it's going to be put out.
In a while.
Yeah, after the
Then, like, Donald Trump is going to say more, like, 20 different more stupid things that are worse than what we said, and it's just like, and he's just going to get more and more popular. He's just like an intimate being or something. It's just like, why can't you just die?
We didn't even mention the thing he said about McCain getting captured, or he was
he didn't consider McCain a war hero because war heroes don't get captured in his book.
Yeah, what a dick.
Yeah, like what the like? Yeah, he's never served in a military ever because he's had daddy's money to make more money. I mean, jeez, dude, and people like him for some reason. I that just boggles my mind.
But at least he's entertaining. I mean, if the country's going to go to hell, it may as well be
day one hell of a ride.
Yeah.
I just hope, like, him and John Boehner can get along if he becomes president. I don't know how well that'll happen. Probably Boehner would be like, shoot, I would work with Obama any day of the week over Trump. And he can't even stand Obama to begin with.
Yeah, people keep asking him, like, how is your relationship going to be with these other countries and with Congress? And he just says, I'm a great negotiator because I made a lot of money. You know, he thinks because he's made a lot of money, he's going to be a great president.
So he's going to spend the money that we don't have to bribe countries to stop warring with each other.
Yeah, well, and also he somehow is going to make the Mexicans build a wall. And pay for it.
I'm hopefully he doesn't say anything about invading Mexico, because then it's like, okay, so we had ISIS to deal with, and oh yeah, also the cartels in El Chapo. I mean, no, we don't need that either.
Yeah, he has said that in the past, but not. I don't think he's like serious about that. But you never know. It's hard to know what is going on. And
yeah,
that.
The man doesn't care. He doesn't. He has no filter on his mouth. He just says whatever. And I think people just like are happy that someone's being this brutally honest. But like, you know, Christie's just is honest too. But like,
can you imagine
he's more
Donald
level-headed
with,
than Trump, and he's not as insane?
Can you imagine Donald with the nuclear codes though? Like this guy, he gets so pissed off at any minor insufficient respect anyone shows him that he is gonna just go berserk when the other countries are like laughing at him because he's such a clown, you know.
And then we're supposed to be like with him. America's supposed to look better. I don't know.
It's just amazing. Anyway,
all right. So who's the candidates for the independent or the Green Party? I think I might switch over to that.
Yeah.
I just cut my losses with the Repubs.
Yeah, I'm probably going to vote Libertarian again. I think it's probably going to be.
I don't think I have the option to vote Libertarian on the ticket ballot, to be honest. So.
I think it's probably going to be Gary Johnson on the ballot again. I know that in 2012 he was on the ballot in 48 states. The Libertarians are the best at getting ballot access of all the third parties.
Oh.
But after that, probably the Greens. But, you know, if you're concerned about Sanders being too communist, the Greens are not exactly your best bet either, even more so.
All right, well, let's go ahead and shut this down. This has been fun catching up and talking about politics for the past hour and 22. Well, no, not hour, like maybe like the past 30 minutes, because we ended DBZ forever ago.
Yeah, I guess there's not much more to say about DBZ. I was surprised that the ending theme was in English, though.
And Freeze's theme is some like metal, like hardcore metal band or something.
Oh yes, that. When he was getting revived.
Yeah,
that was the
and
song.
And it's a song all about him too. Like in the, like I think Josh posted on Facebook, and I checked it, and I was like, "There's subtitles to this, and it's all about the resurrection of Frieza."
Yeah, this song predated the movie, and
maybe they wrote the movie around the song.
Yeah, that's literally what happened. Toriyama heard the song, and then he said, "Wow, good idea! I should revive Frieza for a new movie." And then he included the song in the movie because it gave him the inspiration.
Wait, are you being dead serious on that, or are you?
Yeah,
like...
yeah. This is on Anime News Network. This was when it was like first announced. And
oh
my
gosh, dude!
This is the band that did one of the theme songs for Death Note, Maximum the Hormone.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah. If you feel like this is a bit of a thin plot compared to Battle of Gods, that may be wise because it was based around a song.
It's written off of a metal song.
Yes. I mean, it is a pretty metal movie, you know, a lot of action stuff blowing up, violence.
Metal is blowing up, and people are turning into the color of metal to show how awesome they are.
Yeah.
Blue yeah. Metal. So, you know what? Maybe this movie is better than Battle of Gods since it's so metal. I might have to retract my vote on that. So, I hope it's not too late. But I guess our next review is going to be us covering the Indiegogo perks, which is what we should have done months and months ago. But I got one of those done months and months ago. So, okay, maybe
yeah.
A couple of months. But
so the next one I think is This Ugly Yet Beautiful World. There was another one too, right? But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, Cody mentioned about doing Masamune Shiro stuff, so I figure we owe him that. I just really get he paid the money to get on the show, so we need to figure out when we can get him on. And then Corey told me what he wanted, so I will. That might be the same title or something, but I'll double check on that. So we will. So the one I did with Sean Ryan and Amazement is going to be coming out before this episode. Okay. That's the way I have it worked out. So, and so after this is we'll get to tackle that other stuff, and then that Fantastic Four film will come out
sometime
in between. Yes, yeah, some in between one of those episodes, or maybe the end. I don't know. Which, yeah, well, I guess that'll be around. Maybe all this by the time all this stuff gets out, it might be like October. Well, I mean, like, by the time it might finish, it might be October, and then, like, we still got stuff for Halloween to do. We never even watched Devilman, which is what we probably could have done this summer, but I didn't think about it.
Oh, there's no rush for that. It's still, like, 3 or 4 months.
John, you know how long it took me to watch Gundam X, and that was a 30-something episode show?
Well, I mean, we should have started
Valentine's Day.
We still haven't done the third OVA, though, have we?
No, we haven't. It was like a... Yeah, all right, well, we'll just do that, and we'll cover the TV series, like, next year. I don't know.
Yeah. And
we'll figure something out.
I want to do Double My Lady 1 year, too.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking, like, years in advance here, but let's just do the third OVA this fall.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. We still got to eventually watch whatever our next Takahashi Tomino show is, because it's been about a year since... We put out the last one. But apparently, I don't think anybody listened to or commented on, so...
Well, maybe maybe do a G-Reco for Tomino.
Okay, but Takahashi, I wouldn't mind doing Galliant, maybe. I've got the OVA compilations, but I think hopefully they're subbed.
There's also Dogrum at some point we should do.
Yeah, but that's 70... Oh, no, there's the...
There's a compilation, though.
Yeah, there's a compilation movie for Dogrum. I just was now reminded of that, so I'll check that out since you've been watching the show. And
yeah, I saw the compilation. Think
about like comparing and be like, John, what WTF is going on?
I saw the compilation. It's pretty good for adapting like 1 minute per episode.
All right. It's relatively coherent. We need to do a podcast backstory eventually. We've been talking about that for years at this point.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about like the logistics of that, like who to have on, what to cover. There's so much, you know. There's 10 years of history.
Yeah, you'd be right. I don't know, man. I think we should. I mean, that's something we can definitely add Josh on and try to fill in the blanks. And if we can get other people on for that,
we might as well have Daft too. I'm sure he's got all the stories.
Yeah, they always keep up. They're usually good at keeping up records on that. I mean, I don't know if Viku wants to join or not, because he was part of it at one point.
It depends on how mopey he's feeling that day, probably.
Which is all the time, so that's going to be a no.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, he's usually not quite as bad on Skype as he is on AIM, but, you know, he's just so antisocial on AIM a lot of the time.
Yeah. All right, man, I got work in the morning and everything, so I'll go ahead and let you go.
All right.
All right, later. I mean, I guess we're leaving Cloud by his, lonesome on the other call, but...
Just re-anim. I don't know if he...
Get out of that one.
I don't know if he saw it or not. The movie. He didn't say anything during the Fantastic Four thing.
I think he just joins because he's got nothing better to do, and that's... I don't care, I mean...
Yeah, it's fine.
Alright, you're saying that call is 2 hours and 15 minutes? Like, are you able to determine what part of that call is that? That can't be the entire movie review. There's no way.
Well, actually, we went through it like scene by scene and trashed all of it. But the first 30 minutes, you can like edit some of that out because there was a little bit where we talked about like when we were going to record the fall anime review and stuff like that.
Okay.
But we did talk about Fantastic Four some in there too. There's a point where he, like 30 minutes in, where he's like, okay, here's where we should do introductions or whatever, and I guess that's where it should start, and, you know, maybe some of the start stuff can be included at the end from before that or something as bonus.
Alright, well, I mean, I'll just use that as a separate episode. I figure if it was going to be like an hour, then we can make this about an hour and then combine into one, but...
Yeah, well, we hated the movie so much that we had to tear apart every scene, every character, and... it went on a lot longer than I thought it would. We also had all this behind-the-scenes information about, you know, Fox's history of editing the film and what the director posted on 4chan about what was removed from his original version, and there was all this information he had about it that I didn't know that we talked about some.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, the Fantastic Four review will come out eventually, but, I mean, I'm more... focus on the Dragon Ball ZF, and then if you guys are going to talk about fall anime or something, then
well, come out eventually. He said that he's going to do this Psycho Pass movie review when he does the fall anime review, which I have not seen any of these anime that are airing now, so other than Dragon Ball Z Super.
Yeah, so, that's fine with me.
So I'm not in any rush to do that. Maybe I'll do it eventually, but okay. I don't know. He said that.
I was gonna say we're recording now, right?
Yeah, we were recording.
I figured. What were you about to say?
He said that he is going to get a new mic when he gets a job, but who knows when that'll be? Lately, yeah, he's been talking about
that going to happen or partake.
Lately, he's been talking about how he wants to open what he calls a board game bar. Where would serve alcohol and offer up a bunch of board games for people to play while they get drunk.
You know, that's very interesting you mentioned that. I guess everything we're going to say, I'll just put this at the end of the episode or like as the zinger or something. But like, it's interesting you say that because this could be the beginning. Who cares? There was something on Twitter about there's like a nerd or geek bar in Chicago. And supposedly they did a Kickstarter to try to like to save it or to keep it going or whatever. And it's the fact that's like the article that I saw on Twitter about it, then someone posted up or whatever, was the fact that it was like, you know, does it deserve to stay open? Because apparently the people who ran it, again, number one, like most of these businesses don't have any kind of business sense and they don't know what they're doing. So they have to like basically ask money from people instead of them making their own money because they don't know how to market the place or, you know, get it out there. And so like it's basically like a place where and like of course the drinks are going to be overpriced and everything. And it's basically kind of sort of a failed idea that these guys want to try to keep going. So like they had a Kickstarter and people are like, you know, hey, I supported this 2 years ago and I have not received any of the perks you promised me or anything like that. So, and it's like the same thing where people open up anime stores, but they don't have any kind of business sense to try to keep it going. They just do it because it's a great idea, and it's not against the idea, but you have to have the business side to get people coming to your business. Now, granted, Daft is a business major, so I think if he does this, well, let's put his degree to the test and see if he can actually keep a board game bar open. I mean, there's places out there, like I know there's one in the Raleigh-Durham area that's a barcade, which is like a bar in an arcade place. Which is cool because adults like to play video games anyways or play old arcade games. So, like, you know that place is booming. And then I'm sure the people who run it are people that are actually bartenders that know how to make a drink and everything. It's not just, like, oh, my best friend can do the best with this drink or something like that. So I want to assume that Daft is going to take this well, but then again, you have to have people that are like, you know, do I want to go to a bar? Like, what kind of bar do I feel like tonight? Do I want to go out and play, you know, board games and get drunk and have as a friend environment? Do I want to go to a bar and pick up chicks? I think they're going to go for the latter 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think there's that big of a board game demographic in 2015 anyway.
It's like this is going to be considered a very small business in my mind if Daft does it. I mean, unless there's like a really high demand for people in New England to play board games, which is shocking to me, but I can't, you know, discredit it or anything, but it's just like, that sounds like a cool idea, but I mean, I think you need to offer something else than board games there, but like kind of keep that as, you know, yeah, you can play board games there, but then there's also the other things you can do too, so.
Yeah.